What up? Welcome back. I know it's been quite a long time. It's probably been about over a year since I've done this podcast. I just want to welcome you back to the LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast. It's been a long time. I know I had quit this shit and left. I was just burnt out. So now I'm going to give it another shot. The last time I did this podcast, I don't even remember when it was. It must have been a year ago or maybe 2 years ago. I don't even remember what the last... No, I think the last time I did it was the attack on the democracy when the white people attacked the White House. That was the last time. And I want to say since that time, my career has picked up. During that time when I was doing it, I believe I was still working in the pharmacy. However, I'm out of the pharmacy now. I'm a full-time comic. And actually, I'm doing this podcast right now from Baltimore, Maryland, in my hotel room overlooking the Baltimore Harbor. As I talk to you guys, it's been so long. So much has gone on. So many things have happened since this time. Since this shit happened at the White. Just so much, you know. Especially what's recently happened, you know. Well, you know, before I even get into those topics, I just tell you where I'm at in life. It's good. The dream is real. The persistence is starting to pay off. I feel myself coming around the corner. I haven't even talked to you guys since I did Life and Beth with Amy Schumer, which is on Hulu. Matter of fact, I was able to do that show, act on the show, write on the show. And now we're in our second season. We just finished writing the second season, and we're probably going to production for that the beginning of the new year in 2023. So, along with that, I've been able to travel, tell jokes, do a lot of shit on social media because that is necessary as a comedian in this particular day and age. That's the only way I can keep myself out there. I don't even know any other way at this point. I mean, I see guys, you know, you go sharpen your skills and shit at the bar and grill and wherever you try to get up on stage at the comedy club. But in this day and time, I ask myself, which one is more necessary? And to me, I think it's the social media and actually interacting with the fans. I think that's starting to outweigh every other thing. I don't know how much talent even matters anymore as a stand-up comic. Does talent even matter? Does talent matter? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't feel like it does a lot of times. I mean, you know, I'm only paying attention to myself, but, you know, just from what I see, you know, when I started comedy, even before I started comedy, comedy was scary. It was very scary. Starting at the old Uptown Comedy Corner was a very, very scary place. They used to boo your ass. You didn't have a lot of time to wait and relax on that stage. They would get your ass up out of there. And when you look at the Giants before, you know, late 90s, you're looking at a Martin Lawrence. Well, even before him, you're looking at an Eddie Murphy. You look at Eddie Murphy, you think about comedy back in the day. You look at a guy like Eddie Murphy, and you say to yourself, Eddie Murphy was so good. It's like, no way in the hell I could do that. I mean, the way this guy, Eddie Murphy, was 21 years old when he did Delirious. 21. Even though he looked 40, because he always had an older looking face. Eddie Murphy did Delirious. And I mean, just his pacing, the control, the taking his time, his confidence on stage. And that shit was in the 80s, man. You know, this is a time in the 80s and 90s. Niggas, it wasn't cool to be funny or be no goddamn comedian. Everybody was like a street nigga and tough. And it just wasn't cool. So he was like an anomaly. and doing stand-up. And then you see a Bill Cosby, saw a little bit of Richard Pryor. And then you fast forward to seeing that young Martin Lawrence and watching Martin just come out and murder on Def Jam every week with new material. I mean, just fucking killing. And I don't even think Martin gets his flowers, man, because I always looked at it as like we went from Richard to Eddie to Martin. And, you know, like Kev doing his thing, but it just doesn't, bro, it doesn't hold the same weight, I guess, to me. You know what I mean? Like, Kev is definitely doing his thing. He's provided a lot of opportunities for guys and comics and shit like that. But it's just not that level of when you would ask a person about a Martin Lawrence, it was just hands down across the board. This is the funniest motherfucker walking the earth. He dominates the earth. And then for him to be able to do that sitcom within the confines of a network television show, the studio, and still keep that shit, I mean, funny to the point you're crying tears of laughter. And for that show to even be relevant this day in itself shows you the kind of motherfucker Martin Lawrence. Martin Lawrence was the baddest motherfucker really that walked. Like, I don't, like, now, you know, he's a lot slower. The delivery is different. It looks like he's had some nerve damage or some type of stroke or something. I don't know if that heat stroke damaged something in him. But he's definitely not the same anymore. But, you know, it doesn't matter. He's still a legend. And then you see a motherfucker like a Bernie Mac, a Chris Tucker. I mean, think about that. Didn't it seem like those guys made it look like doing comedy, that shit looked impossible. Like, how these motherfuckers this goddamn funny in 5 minutes, man? 5 minutes, just rocking, just demolishing the crowd and the kings of comedy and all that. And now we're here in this new space of comedy where the internet is definitely leveled the playing field, I think, because now, as any type of artist, you could have more control over your career by leveraging these tools. So you don't have to be actually that talented. If you're a better business person, if you're a better marketer, you can win. And you can win long term and really grow equity into your career and grow as a business person. Because that's the bottom line of this shit. The bottom line is asses and seats and you're a brand. Like, I look at myself as a brand, right? So, you know, I'm here in Baltimore, I'm headlining, you know, and I talk to the manager and I just want to make sure that asses are coming out or people are inquiring about LeVar. You know what I mean? And I don't want to sound like no asshole talking in third person, but you know, I want to bring that awareness. But the internet allows me to. The internet allows me to execute. And the thing about this podcast, it allows me to execute. It's low production. It's just me sitting here talking in this mic, and I can just get this shit out. I don't have to wait. And I notice about myself, I work better by myself, man. I work better by myself. You know, that could be to my detriment, though, right? But I just like to execute and get shit done real fast. Now, I'm doing this podcast, and I also do a podcast with Special K called Two Virgos and a Mic. This particular podcast will only be done in audio. That's it. It's just straight audio. If you want to see my face, you see me on Instagram or YouTube talking shit about a video or whatever I do over there. But this particular podcast, we're just going to keep executing and run on audio. So you can listen to me as you're walking, as you're working out, as you're driving. But we don't need to see each other. Because right now I'm sitting in my drawers talking. So I was real interested. I was I go down rabbit holes and shit on YouTube. So I was watching this trial of Daryl Brooks. Now Daryl Brooks was the man that drove a van in a parade and killed 6 people and a child. He drove this fucking, it was a truck. I guess it was like a truck. Full speed, just running over people. And this happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin or some shit. No, it was called the Waukesha Parade, but I guess this was in Milwaukee. And I'm watching this man represent himself in court. Let me tell y'all something. This shit was sad, but at the same time, it was hilarious watching this nigga, like, literally hang himself in the goddamn courtroom. I mean, he literally thought that he was going to really represent himself and win. He thought he had a chance. And that was the funniest thing. Watching him sit there and shuffle just through papers. He had all these boxes of fucking papers. And that's when you know a lawyer's going to lose. I mean, if you come to court with all them papers and all your shit ain't organized and you shuffling through them motherfuckers and looking at shit and just asking the wrong questions because he doesn't understand law or how to represent himself. And they just sat back. They just sat back and they patiently allowed him to do this. And they were very respectful to him because they didn't want to get a mistrial. He was probably hoping to piss off the judge and do some shit to get a mistrial. And he just took him through the motions. Some people on the prosecution, they were just laughing. They literally laughed in court. He's fussing with the judge. And he did all this to get 6 life sentences plus 889 years. Man, sit your ass down. I couldn't be a judge because I would be an asshole judge. I would sit on that bench and I would have looked him in his eye. You know, I let him talk. I would laugh. And then I would look and I would ask him, how much time you think you should get? Doc, just tell us. How much time you think you should get? And then maybe he'd say 5 or 10. And we just all erupt in tears of laughter in the courtroom before we give his ass 900 years. That shit was wild, man. I never seen no shit like that. He was just going through the fucking motions. It was tragic. I'm watching this whole Kanye West thing go down. This is very, very interesting. His remarks in regards to George Floyd and the Jewish community, which I guess being anti-Semitic, I guess to say that Jewish people are in control or in power, I guess the reason is anti-Semitic because when you just label a group of people as one thing, I guess it will encourage envy or hate towards those people from other races or whatever. And I watched Kanye sit down with Lex Fridman and that was a valid point that he pointed out. Don't group us all, right? Just individually go after those people and say their names. Because I'm guessing before the Holocaust, a lot of the propaganda that was used, I guess it started that way. And they don't want to go back. It is interesting topic. However, the fact remains that the people in power, this is a fact, and high-level executive positions in entertainment happen to be Jewish. I'm not going to say all of them, but a big majority happen to be Jewish. Just like saying a big majority of people in the NBA happen to be black. Same thing. Now, when you talk about Judaism or Jewish people, the thing is, it's a religion, I'm guessing, and I could be totally ignorant on this. It's a religion. So, is it a race or is it a religion? Like, I'm baptized Catholic. But I find it interesting that when Kanye says he can't be anti-Semitic because he's Jewish, why could that not be a valid point? You know? I have to ask that question. And the whole thing, I'm into this whole thing. I think whatever a person believes they are, let them be. The only irony I have with the business is if the man would have said, I'm a woman, right? Or he's switching to his gender, he would have got a claps on the back. He would have been applauded. He would have been accepted. So why can't this man say he's Jewish? Why can't a black person say they're white? See, that's the thing, right? And this is no disrespect to anybody that's trans. Look, do your thing. I respect you. I respect that. But you need to respect the fact if I want to identify as an Asian, as a white person, or you need to respect me too. See, that's the thing. We gotta break down these lines, and this cancel culture shit is just stupid. We gotta keep open dialogue with one another. And just here's something interesting, right? J.P. Morgan Chase, from what Kanye said, immediately debanked him. They debanked him. This is the same bank that kept Jeffrey Epstein's money in the bank. And Jeffrey Epstein, if you know, Jeffrey Epstein was the fucking pedophile that had the billionaire with the kitty island that was fucking kids and I guess flying elites down on the island to fuck children. But they kept his money. So it's like, why wasn't he debanked? Why wasn't Harvey Weinstein debanked and all the shit he's done? So this cancel culture of words hurting, like, really? Like, can we not get an understanding? And this has come from all sides. Like, it's like everybody is, you know, everybody can be canceled at any given time, but people want to point the gun. But it's no fun when the rabbit got the gun. When you're on the other side, it's no fun. So you want to tear a person down. You want to take everything from it based off of what he said. So would the world be happy if the man just literally has nothing left and he's homeless? Would that make people happy? And if that would make you happy, you need to do some self-reflection. You need to look yourself in the mirror and just say, dude, that's very sad. That's more reflection of you. We need to be able, as the human race, to sit down and have open dialogue with each other. Meaning, if you present your idea, cool. I should be able to present my idea. We should have differences of opinion, but there should be respect towards one another. I was listening to Dr. Phil on Joe Rogan, and he said we need to change cancel culture into counsel culture. Let's have open dialogue. Let's be respectful of one another. Elon Musk just bought Twitter. People are going in a rage. Oh, it's going to be open to hate speech. It's going to be a nigga, delete the app. Delete the app. Do you realize there's a thing called Reddit? They have Reddit. They have Substack. They have a lot of different apps where hate speech is going on at a rampant rate. People, there are always going to be people that don't like people or hate people or people that don't like you. That's just life. Everybody's not supposed to like everybody. It's just what it is. But do I believe we'll go back to slavery or some shit like that? Absolutely not. I think it's the furthest thing from the truth. Right? Like, even with Kanye's statements, I don't believe there will ever be, you know, like a Holocaust of people that do harm. I don't believe that. I think we're an advanced civilization, but I think in America, we're just becoming so divided and polarized. I'm a little fearful that we're going to be conquered soon. We're going to be conquered. Like, we are fucked up right now as a country, man. We're number 37 in math in the world. Number 37. That means if your child is in the best school in America and has the highest math scores, they are 37 in the world. Meaning children with lower scores have a higher rank than your child. That is where we are right now. Lacking innovation. Everybody, you know, of course, look, I love social media myself, but everybody, you know, we TikToking. The priorities are just fucked, man. Teachers are just not being paid appropriately. We fail to value education and innovation. And I think with education, they definitely need to change some things. Right, they need to get it in changed. They need to teach more math and engineering. And I mean, you, of course, English, you know, reading and writing, but we could pretty much understand what each other's saying most times. I mean, I'm terrible at writing. I'm terrible at writing like a paragraph or some shit. I, you know, poor punctuation, run-on sentences, shit like that. I just need to get my thoughts across. That's pretty much what I'm saying. Now, I may go back in and proofread the shit or, make some adjustments. But I'm terrible. But we need to change some shit, man. Like, right now, they saying that we don't even have enough people in the fucking military right now. It's hard to get people in the military. And if we went to war, oh my God, that shit would be sad. I couldn't imagine. I'm 45, so I can't be drafted. What they have to do if we go to war, they'll probably increase the fucking draft age to about 50, bro. That's how I feel. Because, number one, in the U.S., I don't think we're reproducing enough. People aren't having enough children. That's another thing. You're looking at depopulation. And Elon Musk talked about that. Now, in the world, yeah, they fucking over in India and all these other places. They are having kids, man. But I think in America, we've become so obsessed with just materialism and what people are thinking, and you want to party and live your life, and the fucking Instagrams and the TikToks are showing these worlds that are just fake and false, and everybody's trying to live up to this image that they like, fuck a family. It's cool to just be out here. And, you know, a nuclear family is pretty much the bedrock of society. Now, I'm not forcing family. Look, I don't want to be no guy sitting on the fucking pedestal. You do what you want to do. I'm just saying where we are going as a country right now, it's pretty, pretty sad. It's pretty sad, man. So I don't know. I don't fucking know. I wish I had the answers. I really do. I really do. Well, I guess, what else is it? What else is it to talk about? The Lakers can't fucking win a game. They can't win shit. Like, where's the, like, and that's another thing too. The NBA, where is the NBA headed right now? Where's it going? You know, I see the thing with Kyrie. Kyrie, that's Mr. Showtime. Probably one of the coldest point guards the league has ever seen, bro. Like, he's ridiculous, but he's like on some type of crusade or some shit to, I don't know, to supply knowledge and all this shit, just not hooping. I mean, the Nets are losing. They got a fucking super team. They got Kyrie, Durant, Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons can't hit a shot. He mind fucked. Then you go over to L.A., Russell Westbrook, he can't hit, he can't score. It's just all like, ugh. And even though they have guys that are winning, like a Steph Curry who's won a bunch of chips, and, you know, these other guys. And look, I'm no, like, big-time person that's into sports. I just like watching the highlights, see it at a game, you know. I could do some talking points. But, like, to me, they're no real stars. Or the stars in the league are, like, losing or some shit. It's very, very weird. It's very weird. So, I don't know, guys. And then these teams now, these guys, the true rivalry in basketball just doesn't exist. It's like everybody want to be everybody's friend and shit. Everybody's cool. Like, there's not a real right. Like, you know what I mean? You think back to the 90s Bulls and the Pistons. Them motherfuckers hated each other, man. Like, Jordan was coming to kill you. He was coming to kill you. It did not matter. You could be his friend, his best friend. But when you get on that court and that whistle blow, he is your enemy. He is there to slaughter you. Point blank, period. So many stories. He bought Charles Barkley some diamond earrings and softened that nigga up for the playoffs against the Suns and busted they ass. Like, that was just so exciting. But I guess times have changed, and I hate to sound like the old man on the porch, but that is where we're going. So I guess I can wrap this up. This has been a great 28 minutes. So I'm going to end this. This has been the first episode back of the Bar Walker Daily Show podcast. And tune in tomorrow for more. I'll see you then.